are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Well, hello, everyone. This is a very exciting time for Next on Scene as we continue to blossom and do new ventures. We officially started our video show yesterday. We filmed our first show with Tranquility by Hehe, who is an amazing doula in the Boston area, but travels everywhere for her clients, and she'll tell you more about that on the show. And for those of you who haven't heard what a doula is, it is so fascinating. She makes you feel right at home when you are giving birth to that baby, or you are a parent that doesn't know what to do once, you know, you're pregnant and how to even go forward about that. So he has all the answers for us, and we are so excited to have her on today. So stay tuned, and Haley Elise Stewart, aka Hehe Stewart, is going to tell us all about Tranquility by Hehe and what it is.
We do all things from working with people who are trying to conceive all the way through your birth, prenatal support, all the way to postpartum support as well.
I love it.
It's an entire spectrum. We try and be a one-stop shop for parents on their journey to parenthood.
I love it. And like, what inspired you? Of course, look at the camera too so our audience can see you, but tell us what inspired you to become a doula.
Yeah.
And tell us what a doula is for people who don't even know what a doula is. Okay.
So a doula is a support person for people going through parenthood. So like I say, there's a whole spectrum. Birth doula in particular is a person who supports birthing people. And like I mentioned earlier, we hold like prenatals. We do support prenatally, then throughout the birth and then postpartum as well. And it's educational support, mental support, physical support, emotional support, informational support. A lot of the stuff that I do is...
Well, so many people don't know what to even start. Okay, I'm pregnant, but like now
and
what happens?
Yeah. I think that is something that I hear the most. It's like, now I'm pregnant, now what?
Right.
And so, yeah, that's where I come in. So what was the other piece of that? How I came in to mm-hmm. be a doula. So I got my master's at the University of Alabama, and I have a master's in human development and family studies.
So tell us how you fell into the world of becoming a doula.
Yeah, it's a good story. So I got my master's at the University of Alabama, and I have a master's in human development and family studies. And during my time at the University of Alabama, I actually worked with children on the autism spectrum and who also had sensory processing disorder. So I fell in love with that world. Simultaneously, I was working in an infant classroom as a teacher at a child development center.
So you always had a love for kids.
Absolutely. And children who I think need sensitive care, and you know, children on autism spectrum and sensory processing, they do, but also infants really need sensitive care. It takes a special person, I think, to be able to work with infants and understand what they're saying, because I'm a true believer that our infants do come here very communicative with us. So during that time, I fell in love with both of those, and I came up to Boston. I followed my partner out here because he's from Connecticut, and I started in early intervention working with children that had ASD and SPD, and that just wasn't...
What does that stand for?
Autism spectrum disorder and then sensory processing disorder.
Got it. Okay.
And that just wasn't the right fit for me. So then I moved to a local university here in Boston, and I was an infant teacher, infant toddler teacher. And that also wasn't the right fit for me. So while I was working at the university, a colleague of mine suggested that I look into what a doula was and kind of the training and all of that, because while I had my master's in human development and family studies, and it was the perfect fit, I had never even heard of the word doula, and I certainly didn't know that I wanted to be one when I grew up while I was getting my master's. So it kind of was that final puzzle piece for me. So I did the weekend training with that, and now, yeah.
You only need a weekend training?
Yeah, to be a doula, yeah.
Well, you do a lot of training to maintain and keep up with everything.
That's true.
Too.
And yeah. I do pull mainly from my human development and family studies, and then my undergrad is in psychology. So I pull from my formal degrees a lot more than I do the doula training. But yeah, my particular training was 2 weekends, a Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. And it was really awesome in teaching me like pain relief things for birth, and it was a refresher on kind of what happens with your body during birth and then how to support women, particularly in birth. But for the most part, I'm pulling from my formal degrees when I support women.
Yeah. Right, which is so valuable.
Yeah.
So, like, I want our audience to get to know, like, how it works. So, like, I'm pregnant, for example, yep. and I come to you and I'm like, what do I do now, right? So yeah. let's talk about how the procedure works. So I come to you telling you I'm pregnant. Now what happens?
Yes. So the first thing is that you should always interview multiple doulas. So it's very important that someone is very compatible with you energetically and your beliefs and the way that they kind of talk and present and approach things. You are going to be in a very vulnerable spot in life, right? So this is a very transitional place. You're coming in not a parent, so your baby's on the inside, and you're leaving with a tiny human on the outside of you, like full-blown 100%. You are now a parent, right? Like, there's no more denying it. So this transition is really big. So finding that perfect match is huge. So that's number one, is multiple doula interviews. So you interview me, you decide that you want to work with me, and then we start meeting prenatally, and this can look like anything. So some people want it once a month. Some people just want one before the birth. Some people want to be in constant contact. And that's something that I think sets Tranquility by Hihi apart. A lot of doulas or birth services offer just one package or maybe just a few packages, but they're not very flexible. Something that we pride ourselves in is that we have very flexible packages, and they are they're really meant to be tailored to whatever you need, because birth is not one size fits all.
It's right.
Support really can't be one size fits all.
Yeah, either. But that's why it's so valuable, because you're so customized to whoever you're working
and
with.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a large reason of why people go with us is because they do like that custom piece of it. They like being able to kind of put together their own support package based on what they need.
Which I totally want to get into, because you offer like concierge services and stuff like that. So let's talk about that.
Cool. So the maternity concierge piece is I do anything and everything related to your pregnancy for you. So I do things like putting together your baby registry, putting together your baby nursery.
Because you know the things people need.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know what I need.
Exactly.
Right.
So some of our clients are very powerful. They have high power jobs, and so they don't necessarily always have the time to dedicate to being pregnant, unfortunately, and it is kind of time consuming. It's a lot of work to not only know what baby products you need, but which ones are best, you know, which ones have the highest ratings and are safe, because there's so many products out there. There's so much information for expectant parents out there. And so that's kind of what I do. I act as that filter for you. But then I do things also like planning your baby shower and organizing that. And I have all that research, or at least I have, you know, a compiled list of all the products out there, things that you really need, things that you could need, you cannot need, and then things that you totally probably won't need, but you might get on your baby registry anyway. And then also things like, are they safe? And what are parents' feedbacks on this? Things like that.
Really valuable stuff, though, that people like don't think about.
Exactly.
So valuable. So tell us what, well, obviously you told me how cute you are, that you have your own attire you wear to, like, when the babies are born. You have a whole birthing bag. Let's talk about the details of, like, okay, I'm about to give birth. Like, what happens now?
Exactly. So I'll touch on my little outfit. And this is really for me more than it is for my clients. But the yoga pants, so I wear yoga pants and a birthing shirt. And so my yoga pants is because my number one role in life is, like, to be comfy, right? So I just want to be comfy in everything. If I could live in my Lululemons, I totally would single day.
Right.
So
comfort. And also when you get there, you're there for hours.
Hours. Yeah. Yeah. So I actually, I just got done with a labor that was 42 hours long. So sometimes you're spending multiple days in a hospital. So comfort is number one. And also the yoga pants allow me to move freely, because just as the birthing parent needs to move freely to, you know, allow their body to open up, I also need to be able to move freely so that I can help support her moving freely. So if her body is in a particular way, I might need to be in some sort of a wonky way also to, like, be able to support her.
Can you give an example?
Yeah. So if, let's say, a birthing parent is, like, on hands and knees, and they need someone to do a hip squeeze, I would need to be able to, like, kind of get around their bodies to squeeze their hips. So a hip squeeze is a pain relief technique that kind of is used in birth. Or not kind of, that is used in birth. Right. And so sometimes it feels good, sometimes it doesn't. But if that mom needed that or that parent needed that, I would need to be able to get away around their body. And sometimes they need to be able to move their hips while they're in, you know, on hands and knees, and so I wouldn't be able to necessarily, like, stand over them, and I want to be conscious that maybe my body isn't in their face, and I'm not too close to, you know, whatever. So there are different things, depending on whatever position the birthing parent is
cool
in,
facts,
I will need
though.
To kind of be in that.
Right.
And then my birthing shirt, usually they have some sort of mantra on there, like, your body was meant to do this, or,
I love it.
Yeah, like, messy bun, caffeine, birth, repeat, like, things like that.
It.
So I'm a big believer in mantras, and there's something that we use often in the birth world, and I think what better way to kind of become your mantra than to wear it.
So, it's so true.
That, yoga pants, and then I have Fit Kicks, which I absolutely love. They're very flexible. They're lightweight. They can be thrown into the
what
washer.
What do they look like? What are Fit Kicks? Are they in your birthing bag?
I don't think I have them, only because I just got back from that birth.
So
cute. But they're like nylon shoes. They're almost like the five finger shoes. You know, those, the ones that go between your toes.
So cute.
Yeah, they're lightweight. And like I say, they can be thrown into the washer because birth can be
germy and
messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of things.
That was
going to
be
you.
One of my questions, like, because
yeah.
there's a lot of germs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep the room clean? Obviously, in a hospital, they have their own procedures. But
yeah.
as a doula, what do you recommend? How does, like, once you get home, what do you do? Because people
Absolutely.
Are going to visit and stuff like that.
Yeah. So what do I do as the doula when I get home? Or the family?
Well, for both, what do you recommend? Like, what
yeah.
do you do personally, and what do you recommend them to do?
Yeah, so I actually take off all of my clothes, and they're washed separately when I get home from the hospital, just because I usually have bodily fluids on there from, you know, the birth. And then I've been in the hospital, and if we're there for multiple days, I usually have slept somewhere. This past birth, I slept on the windowsill in the in the hospital room. I've slept on couches. I've slept on floors. You know, you just put down some sheets, and I bring a yoga mat with me. And so I sleep all sorts of places, so I am pretty dirty. So that gets taken right
Which
off.
Which you're so not. Look how clean she is. So beautiful and clean. But you get down and dirty when you're
you
at work.
You get down
yeah.
and dirty. Yeah.
yeah.
It's the really nitty gritty in
yeah.
birth. And then as far as families go, I think for the most part, people can pretty much handle it on themselves. By now in 2018, people know how to come and visit new babies. But washing your hands when you come in, maybe having people take off their shoes. I think the number one thing for me is that if anybody is sick, it really is best
they don't
to
hang
not
out.
Come in.
Yeah.
You know, and the baby's here, they're healthy, they will be here in 2 weeks when you are well. But definitely if you've had a fever or you've had any kind of upper respiratory anything or diarrhea, please do not go and visit a new baby. Their immune systems just aren't
as strong.
Not there yet.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
So how long does it actually take for their immune systems to develop?
Yeah, so I would say that you should definitely be really cautious in their first month or two of life, and then usually about 4 or 6 months, babies are okay to
start to build a little more.
For sure, and they're, you know, especially if they're breastfed and, you know, mom's on probiotics or babies are on probiotics, all things that you should ask your healthcare provider.
Sorry to interrupt, but once
yeah.
the babies are born, how involved are you beyond the birth?
Yeah, so that also varies. It's everything
right,
is
it's
kind
custom,
of,
right.
for sure.
Right. What is pretty standard that you find?
Yeah, so pretty standard. Well, everybody gets a postpartum visit, so I want to go into your home a few days after you get home from the hospital to check on you. This is for several reasons. I want to help you get your breastfeeding journey off to the most
start.
Perfect start that you possibly can. If you're choosing not to breastfeed, I want to help you either learn how to dry up your milk that has already come in, because your milk actually is triggered to come in by the delivery of your placenta. So whether you decide to breastfeed or not, your breast milk is coming in. So if you choose not to do that, I want to help you get that on way. And then if you are deciding to do like bottled and pumping, I want to help you do all that. So your feeding journey is number one. I want to help you do that. And then number two, your mental health. I want to make sure that you're in the right headspace when you bring home a baby, because again, it is a very big life transition, and it can throw some curveballs your
yeah.
way.
Yeah, well, I've heard like people can get depression and stuff like that
For
too,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
yeah.
So I want to do a quick check of that. And then number three, in America, for some reason, we don't see our doctors until 6 weeks. You know, you're sent home with this tiny human and said, good luck, keep this baby alive, we'll see you in 6 weeks. And for anybody who's not ever had a baby, and I've not ever had a baby, but I've been in plenty of homes to know, 6 weeks is a very, very, very long time to kind of be navigating this territory of newness, right? So if you've never been here before, and even if this is a subsequent child and this is your second, third, fourth, chances are this baby is not exactly like your previous kids.
Right.
So every time you add a baby to your family, it's somewhat uncharted territory. So those are my three reasons that I want to, your feeding journey, your mental health, and then also just physically, I want to make sure that you're feeling okay. And
right, and that's, right. Really valuable.
Absolutely. Right. So after that visit is when it becomes kind of dependent on the family. Sometimes I'm in the house often, and I do day work, postpartum hours, and then sometimes I'm in the home overnight, and I do overnight work, and I will actually
come to your home. What does that entail? Can you give us an example?
I'll actually come to your home and spend the night with you, and if you're a breastfeeding parent, as your baby wakes up, I come and plug your baby in. I call it plugging them in, and then as you're done, you simply hand them back off. I burp, I change their diaper, I put them back to sleep, I do all the things where you simply wake up and breastfeed. For our parents that aren't breastfeeding and choosing to bottle feed, you get a full 8 hours of sleep, and I take care of your baby. Wow. And you don't
so valuable
don't see us
so
until valuable the next morning. Exactly. Yeah. You know, because sleep is I just think that sleep is connected to so much
of your health, yeah, mentality.
Yeah, for sure. And I've seen parents who thought that they either, you know, had very, very bad severe postpartum depression, or that they were very well on the way to having it, and with a night or two of sleep,
their whole mentality was different.
Yes, and they feel like a new person. So sleep is one of those really crazy things that can kind of shift your perspective and make you feel kind of not like yourself, even though you might not have postpartum depression or you might not even be headed on that path. You definitely could feel like it if you're just so exhausted. You know, exhaustion is
a serious thing.
It's a serious
thing.
Yeah,
a serious thing.
It's a serious thing. Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so valuable. Hee hee. Oh, everybody needs to hire this girl. Seriously.
Thank you.
No, seriously. It's like so valuable. People don't realize it until they're in that scenario, right?
I think that's true. Yeah. I think people also don't realize how many options that they have. So I'm the queen of saying, like, you have options about everything. And I don't take no for an answer. So if anybody ever says, like, oh, this is your only option, I'm always like, liar. I have more options. Like, what are my other options? You might not know them, but let's explore them together. 'Cause you have options of pretty much
everything. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go as far as to say, like, every single thing, but for the most part, you really, really do. And I just think, for me, that's my main drive, is to make sure that people are choosing what is right for them based on the options that they have. And so you can't do that if you don't know your options. And
right.
That's where I come in.
Right, which is so valuable. Yeah, and you also don't just, obviously we're filming in Boston today, but you work with people everywhere.
I do.
Yeah.
So I do virtual support, and I actually have I have clients all over the country, and my podcast is actually in over 23
which is amazing.
Countries.
Tell them where they can follow you,
yeah,
by the way.
On iTunes. So you can search The Tranquility Tribe Podcast on iTunes, and that is... It started out for expectant and new parents, and I think my following has just grown to, like, parents in general.
Amazing. But that's your target right there.
Yeah, and people love it. I get the kindest, sweetest messages and words from people who are listening and tuning into that.
Well, can you give them teasers of, like, who some of your guests are?
Absolutely.
And stuff like that?
Yeah. So I've had really awesome guests on there. Sarah Reardon from The Vagina Whisperer. She's on Instagram as The Vagina Whisperer. She's a pelvic floor physical therapist. Nicole Brown, who is an acupuncturist here in Boston. Sarah Bivens of the Mamahood and Balance podcast on iTunes. And
so
also
most of them are mom bosses, right? Or mom.
Well, so I have professionals as well. So
that's
like
good.
Midwives and OBGYNs and...
What exactly is a midwife, by the way?
Yeah, so midwife is going to be... they're a medical professional, right? So your OBGYNs, the way that I think about it is, which some people are probably going to give me flack about this, but the way that I think about it is, you know, your OBGYNs and your midwives are, they help you have your baby, right? So I see them as pretty much equals as far as birth professionals and helping you have your babies, except your OBGYN is going to be your surgical person. So the way that I kind of picture it is having an OBGYN is like having a surgeon in your back pocket, and your midwife is your birth professional. So if you've had a very standard
is that a doula? Is that another word for a doula? Or is it totally different?
Yeah, we're very different.
See, this is what I wanted to know.
Yeah, okay. We're very different. Okay. So midwives are medical professionals and doulas are not. We are your support people. So again, like educational support, informational, mental health, emotional, physical support.
Like your right hand. Like your,
absolutely. So you can picture a doula as like a birth coach, and your midwife is your doctor.
The medical side,
yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like really good information, mm-hmm. because people have asked me, is that a midwife?
It's
like
a very common question. Yeah. And also, so when people say, oh, what's a doula? And I say, and they're like, oh, like a midwife. And I'm like,
nah.
No, not really.
Yeah, right.
The same round, but no.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's like really distinguishes the difference for us. So thank you.
Yeah, very big, very big difference. When you're hiring a doula, you're not hiring a midwife.
Right, clearly. Versa. Yeah, very different. Yeah. So how can people hire you, by the way? So tell everyone how they can do that.
So really any way that you can get a hold of me, you can just reach out and say that you are looking for TBH's support. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Probably the most clear and precise way is to email me at tranquilitybyhehe@gmail.com. And then my website also has a form that you can sign up there, and it'll send me an email and I'll email you back. And then, like I say, generally I hop on the phone for a quick phone chat, because if we're not compatible over the phone, it'll That's be like very a- evident. And we just shouldn't waste our time with an in-person interview. You know, it's your time, right. My time. But if we really click over the phone, it's good to meet in person, and then we'll be on
how early enough, like, or how early on do people normally reach out initially?
Yeah, so I would say generally it's between 5 and 6 months is generally what I get. But I've had people who have hired me past their due date, and they've called and said, like, oh my gosh, I was due last week and now I'm starting to get really nervous. And then I have people who hired me 2 days after they found out they were pregnant, because their sister had also used my services. So it depends. Whenever you're ready to reach out. It's never too late unless your baby is here. Like, if your baby's here, then exactly. I won't be a birth doula, but I can always help you in your home.
Like the postpartum. Right. Yeah, that was going
to
be my other
thing.
It's
never too late to build your village, you know, and that's kind of my whole thing about the postpartum work is building that village that you have people to support you, because parenthood was never meant to be done alone. No other culture does it alone.
It's
a lot
so
of
true.
Other countries don't do it alone.
When did doulas even start? This is like a scientific factual. Do you even know? Like,
I don't
how old
know.
A doula even
no,
is?
No, but really, really old. I mean, you know, the granny midwives that did it, you know, years and years and years and years ago, they really forged the path for us, because they got to show the world that, you know, women supporting women in birth is
so valuable.
Yeah. It really is.
We were even discussing, even prior to talking, but there's such a small percentage of doulas that actually exist, right? Which
there
is so crazy.
Are, yeah.
yeah.
It's funny.
And you're so valuable.
That's yes. No, yeah. And it's funny because I think the doula world feels so small. It feels like everyone kind of knows everybody, but I wish there were so many more, because just here in Boston, I can walk down the street for 10 minutes and see 20 pregnant women. I couldn't service all those women if I tried, right? All the doulas in Massachusetts probably couldn't service all of the pregnant women in Boston. So if we're going off of this idea that every single pregnant woman should and deserves to have a doula because they deserve this support, we don't have nearly enough doulas. So I'm of the belief that you can never have too many doulas, because people are going to continue to have babies, right? Job security.
Right. It is, right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So smart and so valuable.
Yeah.
So I want to go over the birthing bag over here.
Yeah.
So let's go dig deep and talk about it.
So
you come to the hospital with this, or do you bring it prior? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, good question. So in our prenatal visit, I do bring some things to the house just to, I don't want the first time that I pull things out of my bag to be the at your birth, right? I don't want that to be the first time that you're seeing my, not tools, but my tools, my pain relief stuff. So I do bring some things to your house prenatally, and we go over kind of how you can utilize it in pre-labor, which is really, really early labor at your house. And so the goal is to labor at home long as possible so that when you get to the hospital, you're really there to have that baby.
Valuable.
So, yeah.
One word for the day. You are just valuable.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, I do bring some of the things prenatally.
Awesome.
Let's see if I can get some of this stuff out. So, the
it is three zippers worth, everyone.
It is. I call it my Ninja Turtle backpack. It's really huge.
We're going to do some close-ups. So, yeah. So Ninja Turtle, so
the
cute.
The first thing that I tell people to pack for, and these are all things that are in my birth bag. You should also have your own birth bag if you're an expectant parent. So, we should all kind of be bringing bags. Most people bring a lot of stuff to the hospital, which is fine. You'd rather have too much stuff than too little, in my opinion. In birth, I would rather you say, oh, we never used this, rather than like, dang it, I wish I had this. So that's the thought. So the first thing that I do is sight. So I practice packing for people's senses, right? So your five senses, and that's based on the pain gate theory. So the pain gate theory says that if you're experiencing pain in one part of your body, you should flood your pain receptors with sensation. So if you can either distract it by massage, or if you can cause pain in a different piece of your body. So I'm sure everybody knows about holding a comb, a fine tooth comb in your hand and squeezing it, and you can cause pain in your hand, and it will actually not only flood your receptors with sensation, but also kind of disguise the pain that you are feeling otherwise, because it's
a distraction almost. Yeah.
So packing for your sight is I use these candles.
So cute.
Yeah, and they're battery powered, because obviously you can't have flames in a hospital. Mm-hmm. But battery powered candles. So I do that, and it makes the room really dim and calm and very spa-like. So I do aim to make your room very relaxing and spa-like, hence tranquility by Hee-Hee, right?
Right.
I also encourage people to bring pictures, so of your pups or maybe your parents or your other children if they're not there.
Well, because you're there for a bunch of hours, if not days, right?
But also visually, if you can, seeing a dog is going to help get the oxytocin started, because you feel love for your dog. And then if you have a picture of maybe you and your family on the beach, it will take you back to a happy time. And that's the endorphins and the serotonin. But then also if you have a picture of a meadow, that's going to be relaxing. And so that will help you kind of go inward and relax. So visually, you want to bring things that are pictures, things like that. So my candles are there.
And these are a lot of candles.
That is. And that's not even all of them.
I'm sure it's not.
So the next thing is music. And I have these speakers that I bring. And I have certain playlists that I bring as well. And they can be, very calming nature sounds. They can be really encouraging, like Eye of the Tiger and Destiny's Child, Survivor and I Will Survive and all these songs.
So you have the Hee-Hee playlist.
Exactly. Exactly. That hypey playlist.
Yeah.
And then taste. So I do leave this up to parents. I do have two things in my bag. So I have ginger for, nausea and stuff like that, because that happens in birth. Sometimes people get sick. And then I have a trail mix, which just has nuts. So that's, that's an energy, like, superfood. It can boost your energy and helps you feel good. It's light, but it kind of fills you up. Nuts do. And then, so I always encourage people to bring hand snacks, things that you can eat with your hands. Also things that somebody else can feed you. So if you're a laboring person, it needs to be like dried fruit that I can just hold up to your mouth and you can bite it off and still continue to labor, because you might not always have your hands to work with. Bananas are really great. Granola bars are really great. Things like that. Third is, or I guess that was three, that was taste. So fourth is touch, and this is my favorite. So touch is definitely my love language. I love to touch, and I also love to be touched.
So what do you call these sections of stuff?
Yeah, these are just...
Because we were talking about taste, touch, eyesight. What's the general, like, what...
Packing for your senses.
Packing, that's what it is.
Yeah, so I just think about, like, kind of your five senses and what would help you feel better in this situation. So touch is next, and this is my favorite. So I have, like, ice packs. Because you can get really hot, so fill it up with ice and icy water. It cools you off instantly. You can also use washcloths for that and dip it in icy water and then put them on your wrist and your face and your back and your ankles and your belly if that feels good.
Oh, my
God,
awesome.
Your chest, your back, your shoulders, all the things.
Right.
Heat is another one. So I have heat packs, which you can make these out of rice socks. Mine came from...
All things Cheetah are amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe mine came from Marshalls or TJ Maxx or something like that. So you put those in the microwave. And then also back to comfy things, anything that's kind of soft. So this is an eye mask. You know, if the birthing parent is really tired and they're trying to get some rest, or maybe the room is really busy and it's really distracting, you can feel it. It's really,
it's kind of heavy. Is this rice in here too?
It's not. It's beads. It's beans. So, you know, this is heavy, so it provides that sensory stuff, but it's also super soft. It's that,
cushion. Yeah, cushion.
For sure. And I can also put essential oils on that and it'll be right there on your face. The lavender if you're needing to kind of calm down. And then robe. So I always encourage people to bring a robe, maybe a silk robe that makes you feel really beautiful and sexy and powerful, or maybe a big plush robe that makes you feel comfy and...
What are you going to do when you give birth?
I might bring the comfy for, when labor is like really, really tough and I'm like, I need to be comfy, I'm really like pushing.
And then once it's done, you'll be like, silk, please.
Silk, yeah. I feel like a warrior goddess.
Yeah, I love
it. Absolutely. So I'm going to pack all my things in a kitchen sink. I can tell you that.
I'm sure that's true.
And then, lastly, I bring things, I bring a diffuser to help with the smell. So smells. Birth has a very particular smell.
What does it smell like? Do we want to know?
No, I don't know that you want to know. I think it all smells very different. So everybody has their own particular smell, but it smells like body odor. And then it smells kind of like things are coming out of you, because things are coming out of you, right? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that comes out. So it's a very distinct smell. When you walk into a birth room, you're like, oh, so there is a baby on the way here. So I bring essential oils. And I bring essential oils for like nausea and prolonged labors, which are really, really long labors.
Are there certain things that trigger longer labors, or is it just something that...
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I also don't know if I want to know the answer to that. You know, I think sometimes it's just something that happens, and there can be multiple reasons. So things like... if your baby's cord is wrapped around their neck, your body might physically say, this is not safe, and not dilate or not allow your baby to drop. If, I don't know, maybe your baby's not getting over that little final lip and there's something unsafe about that. Or maybe your body just isn't letting your baby drop down over that little lip. There's lots of things that can happen.
These are things people don't know, though, so you're informing us.
Yeah. But, I mean, these are things also that your doctor may not know and your doula might not know, your midwife might not know. These are just kind of the things that you put together your team of people that you trust to help take care of you, just in case you run into one of these... I like to call them right hand turns. Some people call them roadblocks. I don't like to call them roadblocks because that insinuates that you're like stopped somewhere. And I always think of birth as a progressive, like forward movement. So rather a right hand turn, maybe a reroute, your GPS rerouting. So
that's a good comparison.
That kind of can be how birth is.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So, yeah, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. I think that's it. And then, so I bring a fan.
Oh my God, so cute.
And it's kind of funny. So I got this at the dollar store for $1. And I thought to myself, this seems kind of silly, but my intuition is telling me, to use it. And do you know, I have used it at almost every single birth. There comes a time in birth where you are
sweating.
You're fire. Yeah. Your body is just feeling so hot because your baby's working really hard. You're working really hard. You got a lot of people talking to you. A lot of things are happening. Your hormones are going. There's so much happening, not only with your body, in your body, but around you, that you often are super sweaty. And
I love it.
It's really incredible. And then finally, my very favorite thing to tell people, and it's kind of like my little secret weapon that people are always like, oh, and you can see that light bulb, is a water bottle with a bendy straw. So it makes sense to have a water bottle, right? You want to be drinking during labor, but no matter what position you're in, you want to be able to have
That's why you said if somebody gives it to you.
Yes,
yeah,
you want it to be able to get to you. So if you're laying flat on your back, you want to be able to have the water. If you're on your hands and knees, you want to be able to have your water. If you're squatting, your hands, you know, you want to be able to have that water. You want also somebody else to be able to give it to you. So if they can get it close to your face and then get the straw into your mouth, that's ideal. Whereas a water bottle,
a little more
pretty much up to you. Yes.
Or you'll spill it all over yourself in the breath.
For sure. Yeah. So that's kind of those are my tips for packing for your birth.
Really valuable stuff there.
Yeah, thanks.
My favorite word of the day, for the record.
Thank you.
No, that's awesome. So what do you pack for you?
Yeah, so this is my only bag that I bring.
Oh, my God.
Up in the front is kind of, that's like my hee-hee compartment. Uh-huh. So I have, you know, I have my toothbrush and my Listerine, and I have gum, and I keep my own personal snacks in there. Anything else? I need pens that I might need to jot something down, a permanent marker in case we need to write on something. The typical things.
Yeah, you just mold to where you are, it seems like. You figure it out. Yeah,
I really do. You know, and that's all part of birth work. That's really kind of... that's the heart of it, is that you have to be flexible. You never know when babies are going to come. Yeah. So not only do our expectant clients have to be flexible, we have to be flexible, but our postpartum clients also have to be flexible. I might be at your house doing a 4-hour postpartum shift, and an hour and a half in, I get a call that
another client
is in labor, and so I have to go. Most of the time, postpartum people are like, okay, I totally understand. I was just there. I just had this baby. So it goes back to being in that village, right?
Right.
So that postpartum client might have to give up 2.5 hours for me to go help another parent, but it'll come back to you. It's all in the circle.
That's so true.
You give to the village and the village will give back to you.
I want to talk about the community thing you're starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So tell us how people can sign up, how often you're going to do the meetups.
For the small groups, the online small groups. Yeah, so I'm starting online small groups. They actually launch tomorrow,
which is really exciting.
The online small groups, we meet just one time, and you can think of it as like an intensive, a 2-hour intensive, and you're with 5 to 6 other, maybe 7 other parents who are in the same either gestation as you, so everyone is either 5 to 7 months pregnant, 7 to 9 months pregnant, just found out they were pregnant, things like that. Or they have children who are the same age, so 0 to 3 postpartum, 3 to 6 postpartum, and so on.
Is that a baby mama calling you right now? Your phone's vibrating.
No, I don't. Okay. And I can't actually find my phone. I don't know where it is.
You're totally fine. I just want to make sure it's not a mama on call or something.
I don't think it would be.
Okay. You just always have to be available.
I do. I love the work, but I do always have to be available. Okay, so small
groups. It's all good. So let's talk about the small groups you're starting.
Yeah, so the small groups, I put together these online groups because I found that parents, they needed that connection. But then when I was holding in-person groups, it's so hard to get out of the house with either a newborn or multiple children, or even, you know, it's very hard to work all day and then go to an in-person small group as an expectant parent. You're so tired. So I kept brainstorming about how can I bring these groups to these parents, and I kept trying to pick the best locations in Boston, and I just kept running into the same problem that we'd have great turnout, but there was always so many people who reached out to say, like, I really want to be there, but I can't, because I'm either too tired to come after work, or, it's just too much work to get out of the house with a newborn or whatever. So I moved them online, and yeah, you can think about them as a 2-hour intensive. So we jump online, you're with 5 to 7 other expectant parents or parents who have children, kind of your child's same age, 0 to 3, 3 to 6 months postpartum. And I start out by telling you what's happening with your body, what's happening with your baby's body, because whether they're on the inside or the outside, things are going on with them, totally. And you want to be able to support that development. Also, like, what to expect, what kind of challenges you might be facing, and how you can kind of combat those challenges and find solutions about that. And then we open it up to just kind of a whole group discussion, and you would not believe how many parents are like, oh my gosh,
this is so valuable. Yeah.
Or, you know, or they're like, oh my God, I am experiencing that same thing, and I thought that I was alone in this. And it's really, really awesome. And to be honest, for the second half, I do kind of just, I just kind of step back, and the parents watch do it. It's really amazing to see those villages come in. And then afterwards, you get to be a part of our online village on Facebook. And then, of course, like in our Instagram and stuff like that. But we have a private clients-only Facebook group. And that's a really amazing community.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, because they're all on the same page going through similar things at the same time. That's so awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
And, like, tell you haven't even been – how long have you been a doula?
Yeah, since 2016.
Amazing.
So,
and you're like so blossoming. Years. I know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, like, so much. So I great. Do. You know, you know those times in life where you're just like, I don't know how I've been living my life this much without this peace. How, like, how am I still alive and I never found this peace? And when things just finally click, that is how I felt when I read the description of the doula training, right? I had not signed up. I had not decided to be a doula. I definitely didn't have a business. I didn't even know if this was my right calling. Then I read the description of the class, and I knew that the class would either make it or break it. So I knew that the class would either blow it out of the water and I was going to, like, really fall in love, or the class was going to be a bust and it would kind of be a dud and I would be like, okay, that was great exploring and now I feel more prepared for my own birth, but it's not my calling. I'm telling you, before even the first day was over, I was like, this is it. I found that final puzzle piece. It's amazing. It's fun to find that final puzzle piece.
I'm sure. It is. And when you have yours, like, what is that process even going to be like for yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to imagine kind of what that will be like. It's also...
So are you going to hire a doula?
Absolutely. Okay. The doulas always need to be doulaed. Right. I'll definitely have a doula at mine. I would love to, I'd love to have a home birth. I'd love to have a water birth at home. If my body is healthy and I have a standard, pretty typical pregnancy, I would love to have a very, natural vaginal birth at home in the water, like a little mermaid.
Do a lot of people still do that?
Yeah, for sure. It's very popular here, in Massachusetts. And then other states also have it. Some states home birth is illegal.
Fascinating.
That's one of
so many cool facts today.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're kind of fighting in the birth world is to make sure, because you know, when you make things like that illegal, you really are stripping birthing people of making their own choice. So whether your legislation agrees or not that that's the right choice, it's really not up to them. It's up to that birthing parent. And to say that something like home birth that we know is safe, with the right support team in place, to say that you can't do that because it's illegal in a state,
right, which is
really
crazy.
Stripping people of their rights. It's really stripping people of making that choice. And, you know, it goes back to, you have a choice in everything.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one of the places where you have a choice in everything until you don't.
Right.
And then you have people who have, maybe drive across state lines to have their baby, and that's just really unnecessary stress
crazy.
To have to, you know, feel like you have to travel in your last 2 weeks of pregnancy and plan for that, and so, yeah.
No, it's so true.
There's lots of changes happen in the birth world, though, so changes, yeah.
Yeah, is there anything you could tell us?
About the changes?
Yeah.
So our C-section rate in America, you know, that's something that we're really fighting hard for in the birth world right now. And I can't speak for our nation. But here in Boston, I know that hospitals are taking initiatives to really lower their C-section rate and to be conscious of whether C-sections are necessary or not in that particular situation. Dr. Neal Shaw, he is really a pioneer, and he is becoming this worldwide guru on C-sections. And we're so lucky to have him here in Boston, and I've seen him speak, and he's very inspirational, and he's very, very, very intelligent and, you know, knowledgeable about this. And so that's one of the things. And then there's some things that I don't know enough to speak to on, but things that are happening with our midwifery here in America. And so I'll actually have that on my podcast sometime this year, talking about what's happening with midwifery here in America.
They're going to have to tune in then.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to do get to know Hee Hee outside of being a doula,
cool, okay?
Okay. So what is something you have to do in your daily routine?
All right. So for my daily routine, you know, something that I do every day, and this is actually rather recent, is I am trying to say 3 things of gratitude when I wake up in the morning. And then also when I go to sleep at night. And just even more recently, I've been trying to get my partner Nicholas to do it as well. So throughout the day, sometimes I'll just ask, like, what are 3 things you're grateful for? And that's kind of like right there on the spot. Tell me what you're grateful for. So I do that. I also meditate. I read pretty much every single day, and then
I mean, that's like more than one thing. That's like really impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a creature of habit, and so being able to do the same things every day, these are what kind of set my days up. And I fully believe this is why, you know, I'm successful. I really do.
Right. Well, because you know how to balance. It's all about the work-life balance,
It's all about that balance, you know, and that is something that is constantly coming up in TBH, is like finding that balance, because being a parent is freaking hard. Like, it is so incredibly hard. I'm not even a parent, and just from the outside, I still have these twinges of fear every now and then when I think about being a parent, of like, oh my gosh, just the overwhelm, right? Just feeling really overwhelmed. And then we have a huge focus at TBH of the self-care piece, of being able to take time for yourself, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. You cannot give if you are not completely filled up. And then it's that piece of how do I find that balance? You know, I can't go to an hour yoga class every single day. I have 3 kids at home, or, you know, I don't have 20 minutes to meditate at lunch every day because I have a newborn, things like that. So it all is about finding that balance. And it's something that I help parents do. I've been known to like sit down and say, journal out what your day looks like for the last 5 days, and I want to see it, and we will find a time for you to find that balance. You know, I'm the queen of gift giving. I like to give massages and spa appointments and
so
essential
cute.
Oils.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, for sure. If you're not going to treat yourself, I'll mail it to you and make you treat yourself.
That's so cute. Yeah. No, it's true though. People need to do that for themselves, especially after giving birth. I'm going to make sure I do that.
Yeah. You know, that after birth period is really, really important. Actually.
Do you even recommend even prior to do massages, or do you have to be careful with that?
No. Yeah. So I actually have partners all over the Boston area, who, also service my clients, and they give nice discounts to TBH clients. And massage is definitely one of those. And many, many, many of my packages, that I offer to clients include at least one, if not a few, massages. And
so
acupuncture is also really awesome. Acupuncture, massage, chiropractic care. Those are my top 3 for
must-haves.
Yeah, for sure. For pregnancy and postpartum, you need all 3 in both. So it's very linear.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, cool stuff. Okay, so who's actually somebody you really look up to that's an entrepreneur, and why?
Gosh. That's a really hard question.
Well, what about in the birthing world?
In the birthing world, that is also a really hard question.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure really is on. I think there's a lot of people who are really influential in the birth world. So I mentioned him earlier, but Dr. Neal Shaw is somebody that constantly is kind of on my news feeds, and I follow his stuff very closely. I think that he's very inspiring to me because he goes against the grain. He's not afraid to walk in somewhere and say, like, well, your C-section rate is so high because of X, Y, and Z, and here are the things that we can do to lower them, and they might not be, the number one choices. They may not be your favorite choices, but these are things that you can definitely do to do that. He's also a male in a very female-dominant world. And while I don't identify with being a male in a female-dominant world, I do identify with being someone who's different, right? So I just have a different approach to birth altogether. You know, I'm
originally... Which everyone can tell, right?
Exactly. I'm originally from Mississippi and Alabama, so I'm already kind of... different from living up here in Boston. I am very, I feel things very deeply. I'm an empath. And so I just have a very different approach. My personality is different. I have a different name. Who has the name of Hee-Hee, you know? So I do identify with that. And then Ina Mae Gaskin is a midwife, and she actually is the founder of The Farm, which is a home birth farm in Tennessee, and it is my dream to go down there and see that. It's a very, apparently it's like very inspirational, and it is a natural like home birth place. So it's just like cabins, and you can go and have your baby there. It's kind of out in the woods in Tennessee. It's very natural. It's very earthy, crunchy, no interventions. So yeah, and she's written a lot of books. She has done so many studies. Penny Simpkin is another one who's done so many studies. There's lots of people in their birth home. Yeah, for sure.
That place in Tennessee sounds crazy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go see it. Yeah. It's kind of funny that I'm from down there and I've never been, but it's on my bucket list. It is. And
you will
soon,
do it.
A soon bucket list, not a far off bucket list.
Yeah, no, that's really cute. Yeah. Okay, so we now know something you can live with. If you were stranded on a desert island, what would be one thing you'd have to bring with you and why?
My water bottles, because, you know, I love water bottles so much. You should see my water bottle collection in my house. I have so many, probably 15 water bottles. And then water is essential to life. I just think you can do so much.
But the island's going to have water. What if the island are, would you drink the salt water though, or would you bring your own? Yeah, the pressure's on it.
Yeah, the pressure's on again. I guess if like water was kind of a given and I didn't need to bring my water bottles, I would bring my Kindle. I'm a nerd. I love to learn.
What do you like to read about?
Yeah, birth.
Yeah, duh.
That kind of makes sense. I also
knowledge read, is power, though.
For sure. Yeah. I also read thrillers, so anything that kind of makes me lay awake at night, like, oh my goodness, is there someone under my bed or in my closet? That, and then also... I don't know what to call it, like self-help stuff, but not so much self-help, but like energy stuff. So like you are a badass and the universe has your back, and mastering your inner mean girl.
I love all that stuff
all
too.
All of those books are really amazing.
Powerful
so
stuff.
Those are my three, anything to do with birth, babies, pelvic floor, women's health, thrillers, and then the energy
love stuff. Love it. So what's your guilty pleasure then?
Ooh, what is my guilty pleasure?
It could be TV show. It could be, because we know what you like to read now. But, like, when you actually get hee-hee time, like, what is your main thing you like to do? Just out of pure enjoyment.
I think just lay on the couch with Nicholas and Max and watch
Max
Netflix.
Is hee-hee's dog, by the way.
Max is my dog. Yeah, Maximus Prime. He's my dog. I think just laying on the couch with them and watching a Netflix show. I'm a bad binger. I will binge Netflix like there is
so
no
So what
tomorrow.
Shows have you recently watched?
Oh, my goodness. So many. So we go through these spurts where you like binge and then we don't watch anything
for like weeks
for sure. And you know, we watch Jeopardy every single night, so that's a
so
fun
cute.
Fact about Nicholas and I. So we watch Jeopardy every single night, but as far as Netflix, Weeds is really awesome, Breaking Bad is awesome, Ozarks are awesome. Gosh, all three with drugs. I sound like a drug dealer.
It's more than like their backstories
for
and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a world I don't know about,
it's
kind of fun to see it on
I
TV,
know. Right?
Yeah, anything. Netflix is good. Netflix is like a wealth of like, holy cow, look at
that
show. I want to do that. So, Criminal Minds is always playing.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Fascinating. No. So you do like thrillers and all that stuff.
You know, the crime stuff, well, it kind of goes back to my first degree is in psychology.
True.
So for a brief moment there, freshman year at Mississippi State University, I thought I wanted to be a forensic psychologist. I thought I wanted to work for the FBI. And then, Then I realized it wasn't for me.
You found children. Much more. Yeah, exactly. Much more. I love it. Oh my God, this has been so much fun today. So tell everyone again how they can get in touch with you and follow you on your channel.
Yeah, for sure. On Facebook and Instagram, I'm just Tranquility by Hehe. Our website is www.tranquilitybyhehe.com. And then you can reach out to us at tranquilitybyhehe@gmail.com.
Awesome. And the word of today was valuable. So Hehe is valuable and you need to hire her. Yeah. Hehe is what's next.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's been really, really fun.
This was so much fun. Yay. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for watching Next on Scene, guys. Our first video segment with Tranquility by Hehe. Stay tuned for what's next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@gzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at GZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on Scene.